Affordable housing is the subject of a number of bills in Connecticut right now. But what do we really mean when we say affordable housing? Connecticut Public Radio's Ali Oshinsky takes a look.
Do you know how many affordable housing units exist in Connecticut?
No one knows the answer to your question.
Why is that?
That exchange took place at a virtual planning and development hearing last week. The question came from State Senator Dan Champagne, and the answer from lawyer Sarah Bronin. And she says it's complicated. Bronin is the founder and lead organizer of Desegregate CT. It's a group of organizations focused on addressing segregation through land use laws. And she asked Champagne to focus more on the affordable part than the housing part.
Maybe it's not the number of units that are affordable, but the percentage of families that actually can afford the housing that they live in.
This nuance is key to what she and many housing advocates are trying to do right now. Sam Giffen says he's got an answer to Senator Champagne's question. There aren't enough affordable housing units in Connecticut. He's a policy and data analyst with a civil rights organization called Open Communities Alliance. The tricky part, he says, is that there are many ways to define the total affordable housing need. So looking at the most severe need, he found that 135,000 households in the state make a third of the average income for their area and pay half of that to housing.
When we talk about the 135,000 households in need of affordable housing, that is in addition to all of the low-income households that are in subsidized affordable housing.
A greater number of households have less severe need, but still pay too much. Giffen puts that number around 400,000 households. Open Communities Alliance is supporting a bill that would spread this need proportionately across the state. Another proposal would increase the variety of housing options available in the state, like 2- and 3-family apartments. The pushback to a statewide approach is concerned that it would take control away from local municipalities. At that same recent hearing, Westport Planning and Zoning Chair Daniel Dobin argued that Connecticut has such an extreme variety of property values. So she says the solution can't be a one-size-fits-all approach.
It's simply not credible to suggest that a statewide zoning reform will have the same impact in different communities.
She argues that in a place like Westport, expanding some regulations will only make it easier for developers to create more expensive apartments and condos. Antonia Edwards said she hears racism in some of the arguments for local control.
Why would a people of color move in my neighborhood? We have no transit system, property value going down. So they were making up bogus claims to push back on why this was needed. And it's just reminiscent of Jim Crow.
Edwards advocates for the rights of Black Americans through Solidarity, a grassroots organization she co-founded. And the people she works with say they often feel unwelcome in the suburbs. Her co-founder, James Kitt, says his current search for an apartment demonstrates how Black residents are effectively barred from some communities.
The problem is they want you to make 3 times your rent. But knowing there's income disparity in Connecticut, it's almost like it's systematically implied that they don't want us.
Kitt added that housing is a bigger expense for people of color in Connecticut, making it harder to save for a mortgage or just stay afloat. More than a quarter of Black and Latinx households in the state have to pay half of what they make towards housing, while 14% of white households pay that much. Quinnipiac law professor Marjorie Shansky says that Connecticut doesn't have a good diversity of housing. There's a lack of more affordable options like 2- and 3-family homes, condos, and in-law apartments.
It's not really about lower income exclusively, and that's the misnomer of affordable housing.
She says the issue impacts young families, empty nesters, and single people across the income spectrum. Because the bar is very high in Connecticut for home ownership, and she says there are limited options for renting.
The fact that many of the towns in Connecticut have mostly only one housing type, which is the single family house, forecloses the ability of people to live in those towns.
Shansky says many approaches are needed to extricate the racial and economic exclusion inherent to housing. And zoning reform, she says, is a good place to start. Ali Oshinsky, Connecticut Public Radio.